Won't be too long before we have Super Bowl Sunday. And if you are like me and my family, we get together with some other folks and we have a nice party out of it. It's sort of a social event for us. We pay attention to the ads and have fun with that. And we also pay attention to food, and we have a lot of food on Super Bowl Sunday, and certainly cheese is one of the things that's featured for every Super Bowl get-together that we have. And, of course, cheese is not only for Super Bowl. It's for a lot of other times as well. And that's at least what Dave Leonardi thinks, isn't it, Dave?
Absolutely. It's got to be, right? Cheese is for every day.
Dave is the cheese guy and director of the Cheese Education and Special Events Programs with the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. And he's with us for the next 45 minutes to talk cheese. And certainly, if you have questions, we've been talking about the nutritional value of milk. Certainly, if you have questions about the value of cheese, the nutritional value of cheese, we can talk about that. We can talk about all the specialty cheeses that are made here in Wisconsin. We made some wonderful cheesemakers here. And we can talk about preparation of cheese and working with cheese in meals. So those are a few of the things, and there's a whole lot more. Certainly, if you have questions or comments as we move along, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area at 263-1890, 263-1890. And if we had a Super Bowl for cheeses, I think we'd have a lot of Super Bowl champions in Wisconsin.
We would have title after title after title, as we often, our Wisconsin cheesemakers compete in several competitions throughout the year, basically year in and year out. American Cheese Society is one of those competitions. Our own Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association hosts the U.S. and the world competitions every other year. And then there's other competitions around the country. But boy, in and out, when we're just competing amongst other domestic cheeses, other states, typically we will win between 40% and 50% of the awards. I mean, it's just hands down. When we compete in the world, we'll win 35% to 40%, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Boy.
So it's just amazing.
That's an amazing, and Jim Packard pulled off offline some of the awards, and I'm looking through this list of different cheeses, and best of show or best of class and our second comes up all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and the couple of critical things I think that consumers should look at about contest winners is often one of the things I like to look at is often first place to third place is such a minute spread of points.
Oh, I never thought about
that. Golly, you know, the guy that was in third place, perhaps if the judge tasted them both again, it's
would
so close.
It.
Might be switched. Who knows? The other thing is the amount of varieties. If you know, I go coast to coast and border to border doing some cheese education things, and in doing so, you know, Wisconsin, we've got that cheddar head image, and everybody thinks we just do a whole lot of cheddar. Well, we do a whole lot of cheddar, and we do it as well, if not better than most. I like to think better than most. The amount of varieties you kind of spoke to opening the show, it's, you know.
They're fantastic.
It wasn't long ago we claimed about 350. Then we kind of kicked it up a notch to 450. And now we're claiming over 500. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I know the number could be higher. Because actually, we only brag about cow's milk, because that's what drives the milk marketing order in the state. But it is just one of those things. I mean, you look at, I think everybody of recent time that's followed cheese has heard of Car Valley Cheese, because they are without a doubt the highest award winner. But there are companies out there, you know, two from Greene County, Roth Quesa and Klondike Cheese. Both make some awesome cheese. Both are great award-winning cheeses.
Yeah.
You don't often hear of Klondike because they don't go by Klondike cheese necessarily in all the stores. If you went and bought feta, for example, here locally in a Brennan store, you'd be buying Klondike feta cheese, but it would be under a Brennan label. That's sort of trickery. But, that happens all the time with retail products.
Well, lots of people with questions for you, Dave. So let's take some calls. Sean and DePierre, we'll go to you first. Sean, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question about, you probably heard in the news about the UK has banned advertising for cheese, calling it junk food. Is that something that should concern us, make us think that maybe cheese isn't as healthy as we once thought it was?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's a great point, Sean, and it really goes back to the ultimate all things in moderation. I mean, I just heard of a lady dying of excessive water consumption in a radio contest a few days back, and
yeah,
that's
I read
horrible.
That too.
But it's kind of a case in point. All things in moderation. If I were to eat a pound of cheese every day, I'd probably be wearing a few more pounds. But a few pounds or a few ounces of that protein, and cheese has got to be recognized as a protein. And if you do that, treat it with that respect, you should be fine. There's a lot of people that will say a lot of things about just about anything. I can't wait for the water stories to begin.
Yeah, yeah. She actually, just that's an aside, but I read that story too. She, I don't know how much she drank, but she actually had drank too much water, and it had an adverse reaction to her, much as if you drank too much alcohol.
Right, exactly. And it's I guess my ultimate example of all things in moderation. Cheese does contain fat, but it also contains proteins. And obviously some moisture in there. But you have to respect the fat aspect of cheese and keep that in moderation.
Hmm. Thanks, Sean, for calling. Rob in Brussels, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Rob.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I eat cheese nearly every day, and one observation is that if I were to drink a glass of milk, you know, I would typically get some congestion, but I know when I eat cheese, I don't get that. That's just one observation. But the one thing I wanted to really ask about is I was watching a television program, and I don't know what network it was on, but it seemed to me something revolving around Wisconsin, and it could have been public television. But nonetheless, there is a gentleman from France who was kind of bagging on Wisconsin cheese or American cheese in general about, you know, it not being alive and how French cheese is far superior because apparently it is alive. I don't know. Could you explain maybe what he's talking about? And is
sure.
that really true?
Sure, Dave. I'm sure can explain that. Dave, go ahead.
Well, let's take the first part first. And as if you were listening earlier in the day, they were talking about milk and lactose. And in the cheese making process, most of the lactose in milk does not go into the cheese. It basically, to kind of give you a mental image, it goes down the drain with the whey. A lot of it does, not all of it. So if you eat a somewhat young cheese, a mascarpone, a fresh mozzarella, it might have trace of lactose in it. But if you eat something like a sharp aged cheddar, it virtually has no lactose left in it at all. It's been converted to lactic acid within the cheese. So let's talk about oui French mom who likes to bash us. A great number of things are going on in the industry worldwide. And one of those things is kind of naming rights, claiming rights. You can only make Brie if you're in this certain region of France. You can only make Parmigiano Reggiano if you're only in this certain region of Italy. And the list goes on and on and on. Well, our cheesemakers here in Wisconsin have certainly heard that. And you would be astounded to note the number of not only American originals, but I think a better term, Wisconsin originals, are out there today. And think back in time, Colby and Brick are Wisconsin's, and Colpack, are Wisconsin's trio of Wisconsin original cheeses. Inspired by something else, but they are definitely originals. Our cheese alive, our cheese, and that's really kind of, you got to look at each cheese, and each cheese stands alone, so to speak, alive or not alive.
What does it mean to be alive?
Well, there's cultures in there that are ever-changing. You know, you take a mild cheddar, for example, and if a mild cheddar is made properly in an old-term way, and that's called milled curd cheddars, that mild cheddar will become medium cheddar in a matter of months. And if you add a few more months, it will become sharp cheddar. And a few more years, if it's made exquisitely, will become absolutely exquisite cheddar. And I don't know how much more alive we can be than that. You know, there's also, you could go down the avenue of saying and talking about yogurt cheeses. And there are yogurt cheeses made with live yogurt cultures that are made right here in the state of Wisconsin. So, no, our cheese lives, and it's also award-winning. So,
all right, Rob, thank you very much for calling. Linda in Greenville, your turn now. Hi, Linda.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Recently, I talked to a friend that is a vegetarian, and I wondered if you know anything about it, but she claims she cannot eat a lot of different cheeses now because they contain some enzyme or byproduct that a vegetarian cannot have. And I wondered if you know anything about that.
Interesting. I would say maybe she's got her facts backwards, possibly. Uh-huh. And here's where I'm coming from. If you go back in time, most cheesemakers would have used an animal-based rennet to coagulate the milk and get the whole process started. Today, most of those rennets are synthetic and hence much more aligned with a vegetarian diet than cheese made years ago, exactly. So, I mean, that would be the main thing that would come to mind. There are some cheeses that do still primarily use animal rennets as they need to create the flavor of that particular cheese. Provolone for one, jumps to mind. That typically would still be an animal-based rennet, but not necessarily all.
Okay.
I'd always encourage any consumer, especially a friend, to get a hold of a specific manufacturer of her favorite cheese and say, gosh, you know, I really need to avoid this. Does your cheesemaking process have any of this in it? But it usually vegetarian, unless they're very, very strict vegans, and then they'll avoid animal products of all sorts, all cheeses. But if she's just
But she really loves cheese, and someone told her this, so she's very concerned. And
I think
I'm glad.
You can allay her fears to a considerable extent.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I think for just from a consistency basis, most of our cheesemakers have gone to a synthetic. Rennet.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Talking cheeses today with Dave Leonardi, the Cheese Guy, Director of Cheese Education and Special Events with the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. And he's going to be staying with us right up until 12:30 today to talk cheese. And certainly Joe and Jim, who are online now, I hope you'll stay with us, and you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at cheese today, Wisconsin cheese, with our guest Dave Leonardi of the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. He directs cheese education and special events for the Milk Marketing Board, WMMB. Glad to have him with us. And certainly, if you have questions about cheese, feel free to join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We'll be glad to get you on the air. And let's go right back to the phones. Joe in Duluth, Minnesota, has been patiently waiting.
Patiently?
Joe, thank you for, well, waiting anyway. Thanks for calling, Joe.
I had my brother was married to a gal from Dina Menasha, and on their many trips to the in-laws, they would bring back cheese from a little cheesemaker in Caroline, Wisconsin. And I have fond memories of their sharp cheddar, their provolone, and also their creamy brick. And I was wondering whether that cheesemaker is still in operation.
Honestly, I can't recall a plant in the town.
Their classic was Caroline Gold, the real sharp cheddar.
Okay. I want to say I've seen that label before, but nothing strikes me. Now, what I can tell you is check out, if you've got access to the web.
I have.
Go to www.wisdairy, that's WISDAIRY.com, and basically, there's just a huge amount of information on our website, one of which would be different cheese companies, and you could put select cheddar, obviously, and see if you could seek out that location. But wisdairy.com will definitely be better help than I have been.
And I have one more question. Is there any maker of blue cheese in Wisconsin that has a label that's common around?
Probably, yes, there is. One of the things that you might be able to find up in your area is a brand called, well, a couple of different brands. I would check for Salemville.
Yes, I've had some of theirs.
Okay, and that is Wisconsin-made. It's actually out of Amish milk, a wonderful product. Another brand that you might be able to find would be Buttermilk Blue. Little-known fact. A very popular brand all over America is Treasure Cave, and that is made by the Saputo Company here in Wisconsin as well.
Okay.
So that wasn't always the case. That used to be a good old Minnesota product. So
it was, well, we're pretty good across the border here.
You're wonderful neighbors.
Thank you.
Nav, thanks a lot for calling. And Jim in St. Croix Falls, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thanks. I'd like to know about aging cheese at home. What conditions you need, what kinds of cheese take well to it, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to experiment a little bit, probably wouldn't hurt you if you picked something that's a little bit more firm, harder in structure, like a cheddar. Basically, cheese often is aged above 40 degrees and sometimes as high as 50 degrees. The critical thing in aging cheese is having moisture. Now, if you think of your typical refrigerator at home, it's designed to suck the moisture out of the air, and that's not going to do you any favors in the aging of cheese. So what you need is a way to incorporate moisture back into that refrigerator that you're going to keep at, say, 48 degrees. Because if you keep it at 38 degrees, not much happens, or it happens so slowly that you just are hard-pressed to kind of note the difference. But I would say if you want to go buy a mild cheddar or a medium cheddar and try to beef up that humidity in your 50-degree refrigerator to, like, 90%, 92%, you're on your way to becoming an offineur.
Well, you could probably purchase one of these small little refrigerators you can get for $100 or whatever.
One of the refrigeration companies is actually kind of looking at creating a cheese cave for home to go right next to the one that holds your other partner products called your wine.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. If you'd like to join in, we have some open lines. We can get you on fairly quickly at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Any question relating to cheese in terms of its preparation or how to use it in cooking or how to feature it, we'd love to hear from you. Ron in Duluth, Minnesota, you're next. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I think that French food snob that another caller referred to when he was talking about cheese that is alive, he meant cheese that was made from unpasteurized milk. I just wondered if when you make cheese from pasteurized milk, I assume it's safer, but does it lose some flavor and use pasteurized rather than raw milk?
Okay.
Well, and you could talk to probably 10 different – by the way, excellent question. But you'd talk to 10 different cheesemakers, and we'd get 10 different answers to this. very simply, there is pasteurized milk. That's commonplace. It's done for food safety for very good reason, because there are potential, not real, but potential pathogens that are in raw milk. Now, there's also a misnomer out in the countryside that raw milk cheeses are against the law. No, they're not. The law reads that it has to be aged for 60 days to go to market if it was made with raw milk. And basically, raw milk is any milk that hasn't been heated to 162 degrees for 15 seconds or beyond 15 seconds. That's the common pasteurization process. There's another as well, but we won't get into that. Flavor profile. There's different flavors in a raw milk versus a pasteurized milk, and let's say sharp cheddar. But you really have to be a pretty educated palate to note those. There are, our wonderful Center for Dairy Research right here at the University of Wisconsin studies the flavor profiles of those sorts of things, and they can kind of replicate them in a pasteurized milk versus a raw milk cheese. So they're all alive. Raw milk versus pasteurized could be where he was coming from, and you'll never see a raw milk brie, for example, because brie, by the time it's 60 days old, is pretty much gone. There's very few cheeses that really fall into that category. Hopefully I've answered your question.
Does aging it for 60 days kill pathogens?
Yeah, basically anything positive within the cheese will overtake any potential negative pathogens within the cheese in that 60-day time frame.
Mm-hmm. But what do you mean, positive pathogens or positive? Now, what's positive about aging cheese?
Well, there's the enzymes that are working in the milk. Anything that is in there will overtake something that would be classified as negative. Mm-hmm. And that's just happens in and through the aging process.
Just a natural process. Thanks, Ron.
Okay, thank you.
Reed in Clintonville, your turn now. Hi, Reed.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Oh, no, afternoon, sorry. Say, just to talk about the Caroline factory, I used to stop there from time to time. We still go to Caroline to Hidden Valley, a great little Friday night fish fry. But the cheese factory is no longer there, sadly. And nor is the ballroom, which burned down, which was a great Sunday brunch place. I do have a question about brick cheese, though. Brick is one of my favorites, especially a well-aged brick. And perhaps, Larry, your guest could speak to a brick and the aging of it and where we can find the longest aged brick in the state. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Reed, for calling.
Great question, great cheese, and a Wisconsin original. And one that we win many awards on. If you're talking about the Wisconsin original, it's kind of a cheese that was inspired by Limburger. And it gets its name, one, because it's shaped like a brick, and secondly, because bricks were actually used set on top of the cheese with a protective layer in between the cheese curd and the brick to press the whey out. After the cheese is formed, it's put into a curing room where becomes a washed rind cheese. So they will literally take an enzyme similar to the same kind of enzyme that's used on the surface of Limburger, and wash it for a few days. Now, a mild brick will only be washed for a few days, set aside, packaged up, sent to market. A couple of the great cheesemakers that make that cheese within the state are Joe Widmer, Widmer Cheese Sellers up in Teresa, and the Chalet Cheese House down in Monroe, where Myron and his crew also make a great, wonderful brick cheese. Mm-hmm. And they also make aged brick. And typically, you look for aged brick, will have foil on it. And that foil is just to protect the cheese and protect that smear and keep it working and keep it aging. And I would look at, Chalet cheese and or Widmer brands out there in the marketplace for really good aged brick. And sometimes it's called German brick A near cousin is called Birkaza. So they're all of that same family, smear ripened, little bit odorous, little, but it's a bigger piece of cheese, so it doesn't age out and become quite as intense as Limburger. But wonderful cheese, wonderful to pair up with some onion and hearty mustard and great, you know, deep rye bread. It's just it's good eating.
I haven't eaten yet. You're making me hungry here, Dave. And I bet if you went to the website again. Wis Dairy, WISDairy.com.
You got it.
You're going to find, have you put in aged brick? Would you?
You'd find out who's making it, and you can do sometimes a direct link, or at least get their telephone information, give them a call and say, gosh, here's where I live, and where can I go find your wonderful cheese?
All right. Reed, thanks. Appreciate it very much. Dave in Hudson, Wisconsin, your turn now. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, the individual who asked about blue cheese earlier, there's a Swiss Valley Farms cheese plant in Mindoro, Wisconsin, that makes a very delightful blue and also a Gorgonzola, which is a first cousin of it.
Ah, and Dave is shaking his head in the affirmative.
They make a terrific, terrific cheese, and they're also home to one of our master cheesemakers.
Yes, it is, Richard Gluck.
You got it. And no, they make a tremendous cheese.
And he also mentioned about the cross the border, the plant that used to make the Treasure Cave blue cheese in Faribault, Minnesota, now is the home to Faribault Cheese Company, which makes a blue cheese product called Ama Blue.
You're so correct, and that cheesemaker there is a Wisconsin-trained cheesemaker. We let him cross the border, but we're regretting it because he makes a nice piece of cheese.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Rodney and Maribel, your turn. Hi, Rod.
Hi. Yeah, I'm wondering, on the cheese labels where it says cheese culture, can they use milk protein concentrate and powdered milk under that ingredient part?
If anything besides what you would see listed isn't on the label, then it certainly shouldn't be, and I would venture to say in Wisconsin isn't in the cheese. So if they use a whey protein concentrate, you should see that listed as an ingredient on the cheese. Otherwise, you should see milk, cultures, salt, mm-hmm. enzymes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
Okay. Thanks, Rod. Sarah in Salem, your turn. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks. I'd like to welcome you back, Larry. I'm glad you're back here.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Also, I have a question about rennet. Now, I heard listening to a program about how they use rennet in cheese, and it kind of disgusted me. And I'm looking for rennetless cheese. So is there any – I know that they do make it, but is there any cheeses that just don't use it in the process? Because I have no idea what it's even used for. But where can I go to look for any of this stuff? Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think if we go back just a few callers, rennet used to be an animal byproduct, and now it's synthetic. So that disgust that most people would have had years ago it's not gone, but it's almost gone.
99%.
Yeah. Well, maybe not 90, but maybe not 99, but maybe 90.
Okay.
The purpose of rennet is really to coagulate the milk. And yes, there are rennetless cheeses. You would look for them on a label, and usually somebody's going to brag about it because he's also going to need to charge you more because it's more expensive. They'll use lactic acid sorts of things to set the milk, sour it and set it. But you need that aspect to coagulate the milk, otherwise you get real runny cheese. No, but things like a cream cheese are often acid set. By using a citric acid or something like that, as opposed to a synthetic rennet.
Mm.
So, it's does that answer your question?
That will do. My concern is that the synthetic still has some sort of animal byproduct. I know cheese is an animal byproduct, but it has some sort of other animal byproduct that I'd rather not have in it. And, so I just have to find out a little more about the synthetic part of it. But I'm a little more at ease now to know that it's not 100%.
Well, what I would encourage you to do is if you let's say your favorite cheese is a cheddar cheese, and it's perhaps from a plant that's near you. Give them a call. Ask them what kind of rennet they're using, or you know, tell them what you're afraid of, and they probably would rest assured put those fears to rest. Or they may say, try this because that's more of what you're looking for. Or, but it can be a plant by plant situation. So I hate to throw everybody in the same barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, my favorite's Applejack, so I'll start calling the people that make that and seeing what they have.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Thank you for calling. And let's turn to Ed in Presque Isle. Ed, hello to you.
Hello. Two questions. One's on Limburger, and is that only made in Wisconsin? That's one question. And the other one is, how do you get the taste of aged Swiss during the cheese days at Monroe? Not so many years ago, they had, I believe, a 30-year-old Swiss. When I asked around down there to buy more, they said it's too expensive to go through that aging process. So is there something that tastes similar that you're familiar with?
First of all, the first question, Limburger, is, as far as the United States production, is only made at Chalet Cheese Plant in Monroe, Wisconsin.
One spot
by master cheesemaker Myron Olson and his crew. And I tell you what, it is absolutely wonderful experience to stop by and see Myron.
Is it ever?
It really is. And you got to taste at least three different Limburgers. You got to taste it when it's kind of young. You got to taste it when it's kind of middle-aged, maybe 2.5-3 months old. And then if you've tasted those two things, Myron, I assure you, will make you taste the six-month-old. And they're all three very different, unique, fun experiences. So now, next question is
aged Swiss.
And it's one of those things that it does cost a lot of money to set aside cheese and age it out. We don't have a lot of production of Swiss within the state. One of the things I could probably steer you to, and I'm not sure where he's selling product locally, Bruce Workman has got a plant in just outside of Monticello, and his plant is the only plant in America that makes 200-pound wheels of Swiss, the traditional big wheel Swiss. And that has a flavor profile that is just absolutely delicious. But again, I'm not positive as to where that product is sold locally. I believe Brennan's actually has carried it from time to time. So if you're by Brennan's, you might pop in there and ask them. Outside of that, just keep asking. And Swiss being a relatively hard cheese, if you want to play around and try to age it yourself, possibly you could. But I'd keep it up, temperature up around 50 degrees and very humid, and see what you get.
Now, you said Monticello, not Montello.
Monticello, yes. South of Madison, not north of Madison.
Okay, Highway 69.
You got it.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Diana in Waukesha, you are next. Hi, Diana. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I read a book that is somewhat popular and wondered why no one else called in about this, but not that I paid a lot of attention to it. But the person who authored the book, Eat Right for Your Health Type, said in there that the cow enzyme in cow's milk causes antibodies in the human body, and that goat's milk does not, and goat's milk products, of course, not just the milk, but the products also. And one recommendation was not to have it every day, milk products, if you do adhere to cow products instead of goat. And I'm just wondering if your guest has any opinion on that.
Well, that's a new one on me. I have not heard anything about a particular enzyme within the milk, cow versus goat versus sheep, for that fact. That really variants. So I'm of no help.
I've scratching my head here, too, trying to think, and I haven't come up with, well, you know, the next time you're on, you'll research it.
I can do a little, I can always do homework.
Always do a little homework on that. Now, do you have a favorite cheese that's come out recently, or you know, I know you hate to pick on just one company or one type of cheese, but let's think about the Super Bowl. What would be kind of a cool cheese to serve this year that might be a little different from what normally gets served?
Well, you kind of precluded a few questions to me, and it made me do a little homework. And I do have a brand new recipe, actually two, that I absolutely love. I'm a dessert kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And who would think of a chocolate fondue having cheese in it?
Mm.
But on our website, you can find a chocolate mascarpone fondue.
Mm.
That is just absolutely wonderful. So for your Super Bowl party, or don't wait that long, do it this weekend for the...
Try it out.
Yeah, try it out to make sure your guests are going to be happy. And you know, you could wonderful to take bananas and strawberries and those things and dip it in that chocolate fondue for dessert. It's just absolutely heavenly. Now that's one of my favorites. The other one that's a real good strong favorite that's brand new, couldn't be simpler. It's so simple my daughter could do it, and she's a school teacher and I pick on her all the time. But it's got four ingredients and it's a feta, and again you could pick up an award-winning Klondike feta.
Mm-hmm.
It would be black peppercorn flavored feta.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cream cheese, pistachios, and you kind of blend all of those. You chop up the pistachios. Mm. You blend all the stuff together, and you put it on top of basically toast points, what would possibly call crostinis. And it's to die for.
And is that on the wisdairy.com?
Wisdairy.com, right on the front page.
go to that website. Dave, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Thank you.
Dave Leonardi of the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Go to that website, www.wisdairy.com, and find those recipes. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.